have no idea what loss is.
You have no idea what loss is.
I reckon it's got something to do with that girl.
It's got everything to do with that little girl.
I can take care of myself.
How many close calls have we had?
Can't be any worse out there. Can it?
Every guy in this room is staring at you right now. Maybe they're staring at you. Maybe they're jealous of you. I'm just a girl. Not a threat.
Oh, Ellie. I think they should be terrified of you.
Welcome to the world of The Last of Us. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for the Naughty Dog video game series and the HBO and Sky Atlantic television series. I'm your host, Matthew, and today going to be talking about The Last of Us Part 2's Grounded documentary, which got released recently. I've been a little bit unwell, a little bit unfocused, so I wanted to wait until I was somewhat in a better state to watch this long 2-hour Grounded documentary. This will contain full spoilers for Last of Us 1 and 2. I'm not going to be separating this into a spoiler section because this is a dedicated podcast for a thing which is full of spoilers anyway. I'm going to give you my overall thoughts, and then we need to have a conversation after I do that. I feel a little bit shaken up right now, and it was a very emotional documentary, and I'm here to tell you how it made me feel and what I thought of it and that kind of stuff, and that comes from hearing emotions from me, unfortunately. It shook me up a little bit, this documentary. But it also had some really good stuff in it. If I'm to tell you, the only parts I didn't enjoy, but sort of like were going through the motions of, there was probably about 45 minutes worth of this where I was like, okay, I've played this game a good chunk of times, I've been at this part before, and I've seen bits and pieces of this before in other places, and that was the chunk of it that sort of, you know, didn't surprise me, or I didn't really learn anything new. But that's perfectly fine. I understand that this documentary's got to cover the grounds of that. I thought this documentary had some really awesome stuff in it. Learned a few things. Certainly learned about the human cost of not just making games, but emotions. But yeah, there was some really great stuff. It was interesting to see Naughty Dog also showing, because I look at them as, like, you know, top class, best in class developers, can do wrong occasionally, but don't really put major foots wrong, and they for the most part release very, very special games, particularly Last of Us Part 2. And it was interesting to see kind of, you know, everybody talk a bit more, see more of The Office and all the very big Office and that kind of thing. And also this kind of unexpected, like, what one of the parts I didn't expect was kind of the clash with Uncharted and those kinds of things. It was good to hear more from the team, hear more from Neil, of course, hear from all the different actors and stuff involved. But I thoroughly enjoyed my time. I thought it was very interesting, very worth it, very entertaining in points, very, very educational. And look, I'm not somebody who's even seen a lot of documentaries in his life. I've seen the David Beckham documentary, I've seen Welcome to Wrexham, I've seen, what was the other thing, the Game of Thrones documentary, and this, because I haven't seen actually the Grounded. I know they did this for the first game, and there's also like a 30-minute behind the scenes for the show, but I don't really watch a lot of sort of documentary stuff, because to be honest, most of the things I properly follow in the industry don't really have documentaries attached to them, unfortunately. Now's the point. So those are some of my just general overall thoughts. I did really enjoy it. I had a mix of emotions throughout. It was good to see this. It was good to see a more in-depth look at the process and all those kinds of things. But now we need to have a conversation. A very, very serious conversation. Look, I'm somebody who's grown up with Naughty Dog games. I was there in the 90s with Crash Bandicoot. I've loved them ever since. Okay, I kind of missed Jak and Daxter a little bit, but that was through my own fault, not through Naughty Dog. I played them, just haven't finished them and that kind of stuff. Played, of course, Last of Us. Played Last of Us 2 a bunch of times. Played the Uncharted games, really liked those. So I do have a personal attachment to this studio, and I will not in any way, shape or form let that put a sort of bias on when I review Naughty Dog products or anything like that. They just, you know, they put out stuff I like and I tell you that I like them. And look, in terms of whether it's Neil, Troy, Ashley, Haley, Laura, all the many, many, many people that worked on these games, I don't know any of them personally. All of them probably don't know I exist. Because sometimes I don't quite know how I come across in terms of how I talk about Naughty Dog. Like, some people might call me, you know, fanboy or, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's just simply because I like the stuff that they put out. But it was very, very, very hard to see. Because, again, even though I don't know them personally, I've never met any of these people. I've never spoken to any of them before. But I like them as people. I respect them as people. And they put out stuff that I like. And it was really, really difficult to see the abuse section. And I do want to put this at the start, because I kind of want to get it out the way and then talk about sort of the good things in here. But I think we need to... This was a very human-focused documentary. And even outside of the abuse parts and all that kind of stuff, the kind of toll that this did take on the team because of the serious nature of the game and what it is and how the story goes and all those kinds of things. But the bottom line for me is, again, on a personal note, it was very difficult for me to see someone or four or five people talk about their human experience. And for these people that have worked on something that I really love and see the amount of abuse that they got for making the thing that I love, that really did hurt. That really, really did hurt. On a lot of different levels. There's all sorts of ways you can describe the people that are doing this kind of stuff. Happens on a daily basis to developers, unfortunately. And to, of course, other people, but... And look, that was kind of one of the smaller... That was only like 4 or 5 minutes, but those 4 or 5 minutes hit really hard. And all I was sitting there thinking of is, okay, whether you agree with Ellie's choices, Joel's choices, Abby's choices, or whatever characters in the game, these people have done a darn good job at their job of portraying these characters. And obviously Neil behind the camera as a director. And all they're trying to do is put out art and put out something that people like. And at the end of the day, if you disagree with the choice of a character or you don't like a story point, that's fine. That's fine. You don't have to like everything that you play. And you can even say so in a constructive manner. There's loads of stuff over the years I've played and watched and thought was terrible or I didn't like or thought it was bad or stupid for one reason or another. But I could never imagine a scenario in my life where I attack someone like that. Like, okay, I've disagreed with your artistic vision for something. Doesn't mean I'm going to attack you. Doesn't mean I'm going to do what people were doing to Laura, which, of course, Abby, which is threatening their newborn child. It's like, there's different levels to this abuse as well, and it's kind of... there's different levels to this abuse and all those kinds of things. And part of me thinks, okay, get these people education, get them to see what they've done wrong and like, all this kind of thing. I've gotten to a point recently where I've kind of realized some people are just too far gone. You don't have, if you're doing some of this stuff, especially in terms of threatening a newborn child, I don't think you have a soul, and I don't know if you can get one back. I don't know. I don't think, I personally don't, I think there's a line somewhere where you've just kind of lost you've lost your humanity, you've lost your, any single sense of empathy, or, like, forget manners, you've gone way beyond that, and it just, and it wasn't because Laura did anything wrong, it wasn't because Neil did anything wrong, it wasn't because Ashley did, or Troy did, none of these people did anything wrong, they just, So, that was tough. From all the leaked stuff up until, you know, the abuse for what actually happens in the game and all those bits put together, I thought that was... I'm glad that they did put it in there and that they did address it, because it's a very, very important thing to address. But, I would sit here and try to say to these people, like, try do this. I like to try to help people. In certain ways with some of these things, but I don't really know what I can personally say, you know, like, oh Matt, what can you, you know, say to me in terms of why I threatened a newborn child? I don't know what I can say to you. I think that's beyond my kind of, it just, yeah, it's, I think we, and some of you might be listening to this and be like, Matt, move on, you know, talk about the rest of the documentary. This is a podcast less about sort of, oh, when they did this bit in the game, when they did that bit in the game, and more kind of, okay, I've seen this story 6 times, going through it my 7th time, I've been there and done that with the story, I've seen it. What interested me arguably more was the human side of this, and not just this abuse part, but also the sort of feelings people had when they're on set, when dark story stuff is happening, and really getting that human side of things. Because even if you are, I'd like to think I'm a decent human being, I like to learn more about that and stuff, because some of us, you know, we play a game, we finish it, we enjoy it or we don't, and then we move on, and that's okay. But just given the nature of what this game is, the way the world responded to it, it's a very, both on and off screen, it's a very, very human focused project, let's say. So, I think we just need to think a bit more. But I genuinely just think that there's people that just can't be saved. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what you do or what you say to these people. So, anyway, that's I don't want to spend like a full 20 minutes on this, but that was just the part that stuck out emotionally the most, I suppose. Onto the game itself, I do want to talk some of that, of course, as well. Like, I've seen bits of behind the scenes pieces, I've seen bits and bobs here and there before. The one thing that really stood out to me in terms of what's it called? In terms of how they put this game together, because I've heard Neil talk about this game a bunch of times, I've heard other people talk about this game a bunch of times from the development team, was very specifically, like when they were sitting in some of the rooms and they were demoing stuff and they were looking at lighting, and when we put this here and we want the scene to look like this, we want to put this lighting in, there should be more grass here, there should be this, there should be that, and yeah, a lot of people have rightfully so looked at this game in terms of, oh my god, there is so much detail. There's loads of detail in this game. And even down to, there's a bit in here where Neil is kind of, they're doing like a prototype version of the game, obviously. He's like, hey, if I'm on the horse here with Dina and I'm playing as Ellie, I get off and there's got to be this animation. And because sometimes they do kind of curiously wonder, even with good and with bad games, like I think I said before, is if you're not thinking of something to put in a game, then you can't put it in, you know. Like if you have a vision for even just a little section of the game like that, where it's sort of they're going through on a horse, where are things going to be? How much cover is there going to be? Is Ellie going to have to get off the horse? Where are the enemies going to be posted? Where are you going to take cover? Where's the horse going to go? Where's Dina going to go? And given how big this game is as well, and it was interesting to see right at the start, Neil say it's 10 to 30% longer. I can't remember. I think he said that in 2013, was it? Right at the very start, or 2016 or something. I'm like, no, I would say this game's 55% bigger, because it's at least the same length twice, plus a bit more. So, but he obviously said that before the project was completely finished, so there was probably other stuff added later on. But I was glad to hear some of that in terms of, okay, when we get to this part, where are you going to like turn and aim, and where are the enemies going to be? And obviously a lot of encounters in this game are very intense, and sort of where are the enemies going to be positioned, where what are we going to try and get the player to, like, how are they going to engage with the game, and these kinds of things. And then later on they sort of point out, I think it was one of the animators or something pointed out sort of, oh no, we do want to be the best in class for this. And when Ellie is going prone, for example, and they show a really slow detailed kind of, okay, when she's crawling, we can't be clipping through stuff. When she goes underwater, she's then got her hands on the bottom. Which, by the way, I couldn't remember if that was exactly the animation. I can't remember, though, if when I've been underwater in the game, if I've actually touched the bottom. I can't quite remember. I might have done and just not really noticed or something. But all those little bits, it's those little, it really is those fine details in this game, which is why from concept summer 2013 to 2020, this game took 7 years to make. And it wasn't as if, okay, somebody's doing something on a computer every single day for 7 years. It was, you know, you got to start off with concept and those kinds of things, and just all these little bits and pieces, and then like storyboard stuff, animations, positioning of enemies, details of levels, what a level is going to look like, what way you're going to point, and then later on with like accessibility of, okay, how's that going to play out? But the game is a bit wider, so we want the player not to we don't want the player to just follow the arrow. We want them to, because that's a cool thing with Last of Us 2 as opposed to the first game. The first game is very, very, very linear, whereas, okay, the second game's still got a path that you go on, but it's like, okay, you walk through this area, but there's four buildings. You can optionally go in them. There's stuff in there that you might need, might want. There's collectibles. It's not open world, but there's a few more little areas you can go into. The area is slightly more open. I thought that was really cool to see. It's also crazy to see, I can't remember who it was, somebody in the documentary said, like, they were going to make it kind of open world, much more melee focused. I was very curious when that came up, because, again, obviously they didn't see that vision through. It changed a bit more towards the end. I have no idea how Last of Us would work in that way, shape or form. But like the concept of whether it's Last of Us 1, 2 or whatever else you're doing, how you do that for open world. Because I don't really think that you can, I try to think of games like, obviously, The Witcher and Ghost of Tsushima are very big and stuff, but I could never quite imagine playing a Last of Us game where, I mean, okay, in the Seattle thing, you've got like a bit of a map, but a big sprawling map where you've got question marks and chess boxes and stuff. So I'm glad they didn't go down that path, although it could have worked, we don't know. Those are some of those bits. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and
the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps, and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
I want to talk a bit about the performance side of things as well. Obviously, we got to see a bit more of them talking about, obviously, Joel's death, which is, you know, a pretty big point of the game. So that was cool to see, and kind of... You do wonder sometimes, and Laura talked about this a little bit, in terms of Joel's death scene, with how she felt like she was taking something away from Ashley. And sometimes you do wonder, when like a character in a show, game or film is like brutally murdering somebody, what does the actor think of the act of that? And the fact that, let's say it's like Walking Dead or Game of Thrones or something, where you have characters around for 4, 5, 6 seasons, and somebody like a major character gets killed off, how does the actor feel about, like, okay, that actor that you're killing off of the show or game or whatever, they're not gonna... the character isn't around anymore, which means that that person's not in the game anymore. So that was interesting to see that side from, certainly from Laura, in terms of killing Joel. But it was interesting to see her kind of say less about sort of Troy not being there, and more so what she was taking away from Ashley and or Ellie, I suppose, because she was kind of taking away something from her, although, you know, obviously they're characters. But again, that human side of things coming through, and I can't remember which exact scene it was, but Laura saying that she was crying at one point, because it was just, I don't know, it's interesting to see. Again, I talked a lot about the human side of this whole thing, and yeah, just like Laura's kind of reaction to that, I thought was interesting. And it's kind of, okay, let's say there's some actors who are in something that they don't really think is very good, and they're just kind of going through the motions, let's get the film out, and that kind of, or game or whatever. You probably would, if you don't think the project's good or you're not really invested, would you, like, care as much? Like, you do see certain actors sometimes that, like, oh, I didn't really... years later, you hear, oh, I didn't really enjoy this film I was in, so when they did this and that, I didn't really care. And it's not... I don't think that's to do with a lack of the actor's investment. It's more kind of, how good is the thing that you're working on, and how invested are you in this thing that you're working on? And very, very clearly, this entire crew was very, very passionate about what they were doing here, which, again, just struck more. And I kind of wondered, okay, I'm on my 7th playthrough of this game, which is a lot of time. Like, I myself have invested a lot into these characters, and they're not mine, you know. Naughty Dog don't owe me or anything like that. I'm just, you know, here to enjoy what they put out. But obviously I do have an attachment to all these characters and these people as well that have done this game. But yeah. Just how all those things connected, I thought, was a much more, I don't know, but I had an even more sort of personal connection to this whole thing after seeing this, because I already had that personal connection to it, and coming away from this afterwards and hearing more about what these people, all of them, had to say about the game and how personally invested they were in it, it made me feel like this thing is even more special than I already thought it was, which I thought was... I put this on and I thought, okay, we'll learn more about behind the scenes, how they made stuff, da-da-da-da-da. I had no real expectations as to, okay, how much am I going to enjoy from this? What will I learn from this? How will I feel after I've watched it? I didn't really know kind of what to expect. And it wasn't like I'd forgotten the human side of this story and this production and everything, but I don't know, I felt even closer to this game after finishing kind of watching this and stuff. So, what else do I want to talk about with this? It's quite a long documentary. It was nice to see a timeline again of kind of, what was it called? Because they're not really around anymore. Like Paris Games Week, PSX, all those kinds of shows, and E3 and the stress of trailers and stuff. We talked a bunch of times on Gaming Talk about, no matter how excited I am or am not for a game, I never ever want a developer to feel that, oh shit, E3 is coming up, we have 3-4 months, we have to put a presentation together. And you saw with how much that clashed with the whole Uncharted thing. It was like, oh, we actually have to get this other, like this completely unrelated Uncharted game out. We actually have to ship a game. Like we can't necessarily really do this because they were debating sort of how much rain are we going to put in this scene. And I was thinking about the bit that they were talking about, and in the middle of that I was like, I swear you didn't put that out until later, and it turns out that they didn't. And they came up with all the different trailers and stuff, so that was nice to see how that's put together. It's funny as well how, because they were showing much later in the documentary in terms of a really unedited trailer and a really edited trailer. And okay, I know it's the way it's supposed to look. How how bad unfinished trailers look. And it was good to see, even after what was clearly a very stressful, fun and engaging, but very stressful process for everybody, they can look at. Neil did this kind of reflection thing, and I like how he did it, of sort of, hey, by the way, here's what we did, what was it, a month ago, and here's what we did about an hour ago, and we're here to show you it. And it was, I think it was the same trailer or something, and one was like really, really hilariously unedited. It had like Dina's head detached and all mangled and stuff, and then you get this like beautiful, really shiny put together trailer. It was, I suppose, from the dev team, that was kind of, I would find that a really good motivator of like, okay, just a month ago, here's what you were doing, and okay, we were putting something together, but it's clearly not finished. And then, oh, here's something we just finished putting together, this is how good the game that you're working on looks. I thought that was really, really good. I really don't understand, I don't want to go back to the abuse thing too much, because I've already kind of covered it, of like, all these sly reports and stuff of like, oh, Neil's really toxic, Neil's horrible to work with. And look, I don't know him personally. Like, maybe he is worse off camera than we've seen on camera. I don't know. I'm sure, okay, he might get into arguments with people, and you do that with people. But doing something like that, and him trying to motivate his team, and okay, they did clash on stuff now and again, like with the Uncharted thing. And I was quite surprised that had happened, that whole sort of, we want to do these two things, we've either got to put out slightly worse versions of these things, or push stuff, or because we don't really have the resources, or we have to pick and choose. And there was a bit of clash there, and there was a bit of disappointment, and I'm glad that they showed that, because even though I do think Naughty Dog is top class, not every day is going to be smooth sailing, especially when you're working on something as massive and ambitious as this. So I thought that was actually good to show that, and they addressed crunch a little bit, which was good, and tried to sort of fix things and that, so that was good as well. What else do I want to talk about? I feel like I've missed loads of, although I've said a lot of stuff in 26 minutes here, I feel like I've missed a whole bunch of stuff. The leak side was interesting. It seemed, because they didn't really properly explain, well, they said somebody from the Netherlands or whatever. So am I to guess that, because they mentioned all like tight security and stuff and internal servers and all this and that, and they don't really work from home, and that was the first time they did it, and maybe some wires got crossed somewhere and something slipped out somewhere is my guess. And then the game got leaked and whatnot. So that was another kind of interesting part to see. What else do I want to talk about? Seeing the bits with Abby and how that came together was good. It was interesting to see from the Abby side, because obviously she's a vitally important part of this game, and this whole journey of sort of, you know, connecting to her dad, which is the guy that Joel killed, and how that drives her forward. And she looked a bit different at first, and they worked on her a bit more, then they came out with a more full sort of idea and shed more muscles, and Neil didn't kind of, he sort of ended up there kind of thing. And then you slowly start filling out this character's story and giving her more. And I liked how he explained, these two kind of, because he talks about the cycle of violence, and I like his approach to how he talked about violence as well, in terms of, oh, you know, you kill this person will then want to kill you, then this person will want to kill you, especially in this type of world, where that, again, if you don't end that cycle of violence, which is what Last of Us 2 is about, or one of the main things it's about, where does it stop? Because then it becomes, okay, Joel kills Jerry, Abby kills Jerry, then let's say, sorry, Abby kills Joel, then let's say Ellie kills Abby, then Lev kills Ellie, then Dina kills Lev, and then, you know, where does it end, you know? And this kind of, I guess technically sort of ceasefire idea, if you want to sort of put, not quite in a war sort of sense, but if you want to sort of put it like that, of just sort of, hey, if we all stop killing each other and harming each other, even in this type of world, then more people can survive, and we can just kind of, you know, he mentioned at the end in terms of kind of connecting the abuse that he got, and also showing the Ellie choking Abby scene, of just let it go. I thought that was a interesting way to kind of explain, not explain how they got there, obviously him deciding that story beat happened before the other stuff happened, but I thought that was quite good the way that they sort of put that together. But yeah, this idea of they both are seeking revenge, because obviously Ellie's looking for Abby, Abby's looking for Joel, but then Abby's done her thing, then she's looking for Owen, which is why she goes on part of her journey. And then trying to sort of, the job that they had on their hand to try to normalize Abby, and I really, really like the way they laid out, both from a character standpoint and a gameplay standpoint and a workbench standpoint, of we don't want Abby to feel anything like Ellie. They're both kind of looking for the same thing, which is revenge in different contexts. Those contexts just happen to be connected. But this idea of, like, put a stadium in, put these, you know, the WLF group in, give her, you know, friends and family and stuff, and don't have her as just this, like, paint her as this villain, and then try the redemption arc. And obviously, the redemption arc didn't work for everybody. It worked for me. I do sympathize with Abby. I love Abby as a character. And yeah, she did something that was bad, but she had justifiable reasons. And I think Joel knows that. And I think that Troy definitely knows that as well. But even then, just like, hey, we wanted to play a little bit differently. Okay, she plays similarly to Joel. And I thought he was going to bring up as well, I thought Neil was going to bring up that, because to me, within Abby's story, it's, okay, he's this muscular guy, and I don't know if it's sort of, because you walk past the gym and stuff in the game when you're at the stadium, and obviously she's been bulking up, if you go from the flashbacks to her modern, current time story, and I always had this idea of, like, oh, it's, Abby is bulking up so that she can be as strong as Joel, not because he's got a particular, like, advantage, and because there's all these conversations about, like, biological men have got advantage over women, which I don't fully believe and buy into, but okay, he's a big guy who's quite muscular, I'm gonna then bulk up, and okay, even when it gets to the golf scene and she does kill him, obviously he doesn't really stand a chance, but kind of giving her more power and stuff. But again, that was something that separated her so much from Ellie, because in terms of, to be honest, in terms of comparing Ellie and Abby and their stories and who they are as characters, I hadn't thought, because apart from the gameplay sections, I hadn't thought that much about, because to me it was like, okay, they're obviously different, because they have different backgrounds, different families, different people in their lives, similar goals, but different contexts, but it was curious for them to kind of bring that up, and I thought that was handled pretty well as well. What else do I want to talk about? Obviously he's teased, Last of Us Part 3, and also mentioned that he's got this idea post Last of Us Part 2 for this Tommy story. I'm kind of admittedly confused by that. And I think, I hope and think he knows that, okay, the story won't, because there's, to me, there's two worthy notes of Tommy's story that we haven't learned yet that I would like to know, which is obviously the 20 years before the outbreak. Sorry, not before the outbreak. The 20 years in between Sarah dying and what he did with Joel, what Tommy and Joel got up to in those 20 years, and how dark that all was and everything. And the bit that I would also like to play as sort of a DLC is, okay, when Tommy leaves before you do as Ellie, when Tommy leaves before Ellie, and you notice throughout Ellie's Seattle Day 1, Day 2, Day 3, that, okay, Tommy's ahead of you, Tommy's killed some of these people, not all of them, you start to realise, okay, there's another group here. What did he get up to? And you get remnants of it, and obviously you catch up to him eventually, but there's probably a couple of hours. I'd say there's maybe like a Left Behind style, maybe 2 hour sort of story of that, which made me curious as to when they did the No Return stuff. And okay, now you can sort of play as everybody, and Tommy was one of those included characters. Because there's even the bit that you do kind of play through, which is when Tommy kills Manny. And like, would you play that? Like, it'd be interesting to play that from the other side, and you're kind of trying to, obviously you wouldn't be able to shoot Manny or Abby beforehand, because they have to chronologically get to that door, then Manny gets shot, then Abby goes in and she's covered in blood and stuff, then it gets pushed in the water and all those sorts of things, because where you could probably do that is from him leaving Jackson up until he walks in the room where Mel and Owen have just been killed. You could probably do that. So in terms of like after Last of Us Part 2, I don't know what that story looks like, so I'm not quite sure what idea Neil's got with that. I would personally prefer, now I trust Neil, I trust Naughty Dog, I would personally prefer if you were able to weave whatever that is into Part 3, if you do a Part 3. He did kind of say there was a bit of a doubt initially about Part 3, then he said he had an outline and stuff. By the way, in terms of outlines, it was interesting the time frame that he put on things, because I specifically remember when news had dropped 2 years ago, maybe like 2021 or so, that'd be 3 years ago, of like, oh, Neil's got an outline for Last of Us Part 3. I was like, oh, cool, don't know what that would be, but that's a curious thing. It turns out that was for the Tommy thing, but that got twisted in the headlines. But then in this documentary, he does specifically say, oh no, I have a concept outline idea for Part 3, and there's probably one more part to this story. I think it's been pretty obvious ever since, you know, Last of Us 2 blew up and did really well and stuff, that, okay, you're probably going to do a Part 3. Now, my genuine feeling is that Part 3 would be the last part, and it would be this trilogy. Hopefully you do couple of other bits of DLC and stuff, and maybe you return to factions one day. But because obviously there's a conversation about like, oh, Naughty Dog's milking Last of Us and this kind of stuff, there's just been a lot of versions of it and a lot of parts of it. There's a show, there's a remake of Part 1, Part 2, there's all this other kind of stuff that's going on, there's a Season 2 coming out as well. But because I don't know if you, maybe you can, maybe you can't, I don't know, it depends how Neil would feel about it. Can you do, because I mean, you have six Uncharted games, and I suppose with a story that's more intricate and more delicate than Uncharted, I don't know if you can do Last of Us 3, 4, 5, 6, and like, you know, just keep doing it over and over again. Because to me, because I remember once ages ago I did say I think this franchise would die if Ellie died. Now, I don't know what scenario you would do that in. Maybe if Ellie actually gave her part of her brain over, or whatever the surgery was going to be, and you get a cure, and then that's the end of the game. I wonder if you can do side stories with Last of Us of like, oh, here's random survivors. But then, I don't know, it's Ellie's story. It's really Ellie's story. Because fundamentally, if you take Ellie's immunity out of the story, okay, you still kind of have the world and stuff, but it would just be Last of Us before Ellie was born. And okay, you have a post-apocalyptic world and stuff to work on there, but I don't know that you got, you would have a world and you'd have characters and you'd have a story, but you wouldn't have The Last of Us. It would be something else. But I don't know, but I kind of hope, because the three things I hope that we get from Last of Us is part three, a Tommy part two, what was he up to story, and hopefully eventually, like the 20-year Joel and Tommy thing. I'll be surprised if Naughty Dog don't specifically do that, the sort of 20 years of Tommy and Joel, whether it's a season of TV or I don't know what form that would take. So I think that's pretty much what I've got. There's a lot of stuff talked about here. Again, a good chunk of it was, you know, game development stuff and meeting deadlines and things like that, which was still nice to see. But I feel even more connected to this game and this story and this company than I even did before, which was is kind of an amazing thing, I suppose. But I just want to finish it off on this note. I've still got my outro to do and stuff, but, you know, Naughty Dog got a lot of abuse. A lot of people, all the people pretty much involved in this game, I would say specifically Laura, in terms of the whole, you know, newborn comments that she received and that, or that her newborn received. These people went through a lot to make this game, and I think we need to remember that. Whether you do or don't like the game or whatever, I think if we just realise from a human standpoint of, okay, yeah, game development's hard, but look at what happened with this game. And to just reflect on that a little bit. And look, I'll say it again, Naughty Dog doesn't, in terms of, oh, like, am I being paid or whatever by Naughty Dog, or have I got a bias or anything, it's simply a case that I like what they've put out since my childhood, which is Crash, bit of Jack and Dexter, Uncharted, Last of Us, and whatever they do next. I love the studio. I don't personally know anybody involved, so I can't really have, you know, personal connection bias in terms of that sort of thing. But again, as much as you do or don't like this studio or the people involved or the creative thing and that, let's at least try. I know it's very, very hard for some people, but let's try to have some level of respect for these people. Whether you do or don't like what they're doing, what they're putting out, these are people at the end of the day. But unfortunately, the world can be the way that it is. But just personally from me, I just want to say thank you to Naughty Dog. Just thank you. You've given me a lot. Naughty Dog doesn't owe me anything. I will never, you know, expect, like, oh, you got to send me a code, you got to invite me out to do this, you got to include me with this and that. You've given me a lot of games that I've loved and appreciated, literally for most of my life, and it's just something I'm grateful of. It's just something I'm grateful for. Same thing with Pixar, really. They've given me films that I've loved for my entire life. Naughty Dog have done the same thing. They both happen to have been there since my earliest memories, which is Crash Bandicoot and Toy Story. So thank you for giving me something that I really, really enjoyed. And I'm sorry that you went through what you went through to get it out, to get these things created. So yeah, thanks, Naughty Dog. I appreciate you, and I look forward to seeing what you do next. Anyway, that's it from me. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, whatever, matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter, eTalkUK, and his information in your show notes, and also a big email box in your show notes as well, so look out for that. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, main night, podcasts. Look out for what we do on there. There's a bunch of stuff happening. There's more things going on, including this podcast. There's still two lists for me to do. Other things going on as well. Gaming talk. You know, film stuff, TV stuff. Lots of things that we're doing at the moment. So TV, games, films, main night, podcasts, over on entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms. Support us if you'd like to, if you can, by listening to more stuff. There's plenty of stuff on the website, all that kind of stuff. Have a look around. You can also tell other people. If somebody mentions something we podcasted on, please do tell them about it if you can. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays, geektown.co.uk. That's for TV and film news. Bex, she is on hiatus, but go and follow her over on Twitch anyway. Trista, BYTES, for all of her work and that kind of stuff. Me over on Twitch at eTalkUK for all those streams, but mainly YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays, where I do have some Last of Us stuff as well, and game clips and all sorts of things. So yeah, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. Goodbye. Goodbye.